Let's get into the Word of God this morning. I'm excited for that too. Let's pray, and then we'll start. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for where they are, and I pray, God, that you will bless them. I pray that you'll touch them, and this church will expand. I pray, Lord, that this morning that you would touch our hearts. I ask that you will speak through me, and Lord, that you will just allow yourself to just work in this service. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we pray this in your name. Amen. When we were in Madagascar, we had the chance of meeting a Malagasy pastor. Now, this pastor, he pastored a church that was a really large church in the capital city. And it was a lot of fun. We went over to his house, and we saw his church, and we got to hang out with him. But we also got to hear his story. And this pastor, and we have a picture of this pastor. This pastor, this gentleman here with the sunglasses, he was this pastor of this church for a long time, and at one point, a woman came to him for some counseling. She was being abused by her husband, and it was a really rough home life. And so this pastor was counseling her. And after some counseling, after they were talking and trying to, you know, decide what should she do and how would the Christian response be in this situation, which can be so difficult to understand in such difficult times. The husband of this woman was found dead. He was murdered. And some people, some family members of this gentleman blamed it on this pastor, saying that he was the one that came and killed him because of everything that he had heard about this guy caused him to go and kill him. And there was no one that stood up on the side of this pastor to say, no, it wasn't him, even though so many people knew that it wasn't. And so this pastor was put in prison because of this. And in prison, this pastor was malnourished and mistreated and abused in prison. And he was there for a couple of years before, by the grace of God, he was finally released. And because of that time and that malnourishment and that abuse, he always has to wear these sunglasses because his eyes got so messed up that they are super sensitive to light. And if any light hits his eyes, it's an excruciating pain. But this pastor was simply doing the work of God. He was simply doing what God had called him to do, to shepherd and to lead the congregation that he was given. And he fell on some very hard times. But in all of this, this pastor knew that God was greater than this circumstance. He knew that God was stronger than what was happening to him. And this pastor trusted God. And when he was brought out of this prison, this pastor went right back to his church and got back involved and got back to pastoring his church. And his church now is in the capital city, and it runs about 2,000 people every week. And out of his church, they have been able to plant other churches in the capital city. This pastor is doing amazing things for the kingdom of God because he had that faith. When things got hard, he had faith to trust that God knew what he was doing and that God was in control. Right? And in each of our lives, we have circumstances. We have times that it gets rough, times where it's hard, and times where we need to have faith to press on in our situation and in our current circumstances. And like this gentleman, we need to be able to rely on the fact that God is all-powerful and that God is in control. And we must trust that, and we must rely on that. Because our God, who we worship, is the God who created all things. And he's the God who sees you. And he's a God who loves you. And a God who cares about you. And this morning we want to think about this God who is a God of all power that commands an army. And though in our circumstances we might not necessarily need an army from heaven to come and reach into our lives, but knowing that our God is powerful will affect us and will affect the decisions that we make. And we'll change the outcomes of some of our circumstances. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 6 for a little bit. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we come up to Elisha. And Elisha has taken the ministry of Elijah. All right, Elijah was one of the greatest prophets in the Bible, one of the greatest prophets in Israel, did amazing things. And when he was taken into heaven, he passed it on to Elisha. And now Elisha has done a number of miracles. Amazing things were being done at the hands of Elisha through God. And so here we come to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we have this instance where Elisha is once again doing some things because God is working in his life and because he's allowing God to work through him. And so in 2 Kings chapter 6, we see this instance where the king of Syria, and we're not going to read all of it, we're going to read parts of it, but the king of Syria is planning to come and attack the Israelites. And so this king of Syria, he's in his room, right, and he's preparing his battle plans with all of his generals. And he's got this map, and they're planning, and they're saying, okay, at this time, we're going to take this many people, and we're going to go to this location, and we're going to attack here. Well, God miraculously gives Elisha a vision of what's happening in that room. And so Elisha is able to see the king plotting against Israel. And so Elisha hears the plans, and he goes to the king of Israel, and he says, King of Israel, the king of Syria is going to come, and he's going to attack. And this is what he's going to do. This is where and when. And the king of Syria, his attack is foiled because of Elisha. And this happens multiple times. And the king's like, okay, something is wrong here. Someone is telling our plans to Israel. And all of his generals are like, we're not doing it. What we think is the problem is Elisha. Because they knew of Elisha. And they knew his connection with God. And they said, Elisha is the problem. And so the king sends men to go and get Elisha. He sends men to go and capture or kill Elisha. So that this would stop. And the king of Syria could then go into Israel. And so these men go, and they go to get Elisha. So we have Elisha now. And Elisha is in his house with his servant, and it's morning, and the servant goes outside, and when he goes outside, he's going to go get some water from the well. And he looks up, and all around them on the cliff is a great army. A host of the Syrian soldiers are all around. So in 2 Kings chapter 6, let's start reading in verse 15. It says, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of this young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The servant went out, and he saw these chariots, and he saw these men, and he was afraid. And rightly so, right? You go outside, and you see a whole bunch of soldiers, armed to the teeth, and you know they're after you. I would be afraid. And so Elisha goes out, and he's fearful. Or the servant goes out, and he's fearful. And he calls to Elisha, Elisha, come quick! And Elisha comes out, and he says, oh, don't worry about it. The guy's like, really? Look at all those soldiers. They're all after you and me. And you say, don't worry about it? And Elisha prays a simple prayer. God, open the eyes of this man. And immediately, this servant is able to see these chariots and these horses of fire. Because the Lord is on the side of his people. The Lord is on the side of Elisha. And God has come with a great army, a great host, to protect his servant. What an amazing experience. That'd be incredible to see a host of chariots of fire. And the servant sees this and is in awe. He's in awe at the power and the majesty of God. You know, in our lives, we so often get in circumstances where we need help. All right? I don't know about you, but I am frequently in circumstances where I need help. Sometimes I think my body does before my mind thinks, All right, and I get in a place and a position where I'm like, well, this is not going to end well unless I get a little bit of help. Now, granted, I've never really been in a position where I needed this kind of help, though when we were in Egypt, we were there during some of the revolution. And it was a very scary time. And we remember laying on the floor in our apartment and hearing gunfire in the street outside of us and just praying. And we felt like we needed a host of armies to come around us. But we get ourselves in situations where we really need God's help. We really need the power of God to come and to lift us up out of the circumstances that we're in. And we need the power of God to come and stand beside us and strengthen us to continue on. You know, if this servant did not see these things, you think he might question what he was doing. He might question his work for the Lord. But God was there with him. I'm going to tell you another story about a man from Madagascar. This guy, I don't have a picture of, but he was a witch doctor. All right, witch doctors are all over the country of Madagascar, and they are there to help heal someone and put curses on other people and to help with ritual sacrifices and all sorts of things. Well, this particular witch doctor was the most powerful witch doctor in this entire area. Okay, and there were multiple witch doctors in the area in which he lived, but he was the most powerful of all of them. And one day, someone came to him with the gospel of Christ, and this man left his witch doctor ways and turned to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when this witch doctor turned from that to Christ, he felt this overwhelming burden to do something about it. He says, you know what? I have a new faith. I must do something. And so this new Christian went and he found the next most powerful witch doctor. He said, I'm not a witch doctor anymore. You're now the most powerful witch doctor in the area. He says, come with me. And so he takes him to the lake, and he takes him to this edge of this lake. And they're standing there, and this particular lake was a lake that was believed by everybody for centuries to be a lake that was filled with demons. And if anyone were to disturb the waters of this lake, the spirits would come out of the lake and instantly kill that person. And the people lived in fear of this, because they believed that that would happen if anyone even just touched the water. And so this new Christian takes this witch doctor to the edge of this lake, and he says, pick up a rock. And they both pick up rocks. And he says, what we're going to do is we're going to throw these rocks into the lake. And he says, I'm going to prove to you that my God is more powerful than your God. And this witch doctor looks at him and says, there's no way that I'm going to do that. And he drops his rock. He says, I'm not disturbing the waters, because he did not want to be killed by the spirits that would come out. And this new Christian looked at him and said, okay, that's fine. Watch my God save me. And he takes his rock and he throws it into the lake. And he stands there. Now the witch doctor stands, like, backs up, right, waiting for this guy to be killed. And they stand there for a minute. And this new Christian turns to the witch doctor and he says, see, my God's more powerful than all of that. And at that point, the other witch doctor got saved. God does amazing things. God does amazing things in the world around us, and he's there for his people. This new Christian found a faith and found a God of power and was able to stand against everything that he believed. He was raised believing that if he touched that water, he would be killed. And he stood up against all of that. And he said, my God is more powerful than whatever that is. And he stood on the line and he proved it. In our lives, sometimes we need to stand on the line and prove that our God is more powerful than our circumstances. We can get afraid of what's going on in our life. We can get afraid of a lack of finances. We get afraid of the debt. We get afraid of not having a job. We get afraid of our relationships that are just falling apart, our marriages that are falling apart, our children and our relationship that's falling apart. And we get afraid. But we need to have a faith and a boldness that stands up to the line and says, my God is more powerful than what's happening here, and I'm going to take that step, and I'm going to trust in him to come through. And Elisha had that faith. And this witch doctor had that faith. I'm going to read to you a story. It's not very long, but I'm going to read it because it sounds better when I read it than when I tell it. A missionary on furlough told this true story while visiting his home church in Michigan, of all places. While serving in a small field hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks I traveled by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This was the journey of 2 days and required camping overnight at the halfway point. On one of these journeys, I arrived in the city where I planned to collect money from a bank, purchase medicine and supplies, and then begin my 2 day journey back to the field hospital. Upon arrival in the city, I observed men who were fighting, one of whom had been seriously injured. I treated him for his injury and at the same time talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I then traveled 2 days, camping overnight, and arrived home without incident. 2 weeks later, I repeated my journey. Upon arriving in the city, I was approached by the young man I had treated. He told me that he had known I carried money and medicine. He said, "Some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing you camped overnight. We planned to kill you and take your money and drugs. But just as we were about to move into your camp, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards." At this, I laughed and said, "I was certainly all alone in the jungle campsite." The young man pressed the point, however, and said, "No, sir. I was not the only person to see the guards. My 5 friends also saw them, and we all counted. It was because of those guards that we were afraid and left you alone." At this point in the sermon, one of the men in the Michigan congregation jumped to his feet and interrupted the missionary and asked if he could tell him the exact day that this happened. The missionary told the congregation the date, and the man who interrupted told him this story. "On the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here, and I was preparing to go play golf. I was about to putt when I felt the urge to pray for you. In fact, the urging of the Lord was so strong, I called men in this church to meet with me here in the sanctuary to pray. Would all of those men who met with me on that day stand up?" The men who stood up together to pray that day, the missionary wasn't concerned with who they were. He was busy counting them. And he saw 26 men. God moves in our lives. God is powerful. God sees us in our circumstances. And this missionary, he had absolutely no idea that he was even in any kind of danger. He was totally unaware. But our God looked down and saw him in need. And stirred up some other people and said, "Get on your knees and pray for this gentleman." And through the prayers of the saints and the faith of the people of God, God worked a mighty miracle in this missionary's life. And in our lives, in all of these things, we need that faith. We need that faith. Our God is a powerful God. Our God is stronger than anything that this world can bring against us. The missionary experienced a God who helped him when he didn't even know he needed it. The converted witch doctor experienced the power of God to stand against centuries of belief and conditioning and to stand against the evil spirits. The pastor knew that no matter what happened, he would remain faithful to God and God would prove stronger than the circumstances and bring him out of prison and back into his church. And in our lives, we need to trust God that he will bring us out of our circumstances, that he'll bring us out of our debt, that he'll bring us out of our broken relationships, that he'll bring us out of whatever you might find yourself in and what I might find myself in. He'll bring us out of it, and he'll place us on the solid foundation in the power and the might of a living God who sees us and who knows us and who loves us. We need to take that step. We need to be able to stand up to the line and lay our fears down. To lay our fears down before God and to trust that he is in complete control. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you so much for this church. I pray, Jesus, that you will touch the hearts here. I pray that you'll touch lives. I pray that your power will work mighty works in each of the lives here. I pray that you will pull us out of our circumstances that bring us so much fear and pain and set us up in your might and in your power. Lord, I pray that you will grace us with your presence, that you will fill us, that you will overwhelm us with who you are. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we pray this in your name. Amen.